we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to the intersection of faith and culture. Well, yeah, I usually say that on wall builders, but you know, At the Core is the same thing. I mean, that's what Walker and I are always talking about. How does our faith impact the culture, and what can we do about it? You know, listen, there's what can we do about the culture that has been running off the rails for decades and decades? Well, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, there's a great comeback happening right now, and it's we're essentially watching the beginning stages of what William Wilberforce called for when he not only fought to end slavery, he said, "I've been called to make being good fashionable again." He called it a restoration of manners, restoration of morals, essentially teaching people to once again treat others the way they want to be treated. And that restoration is happening in America. There's a sense of justice that has been so violated, so egregiously destroyed over the last 4 years that people are crying out for justice. They're crying out for a restoration of right and wrong, a restoration of a value system that you can believe in, that you can stand on, that you can teach your kids and feel good about it. And that's the rebirth that's happening right now in the country. So every one of these actions that Donald Trump is taking, every one of these, not only the nominations that we're seeing, but just the flood of patriots, freedom-loving, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Constitution-adhering patriots that are moving into Washington, D.C., moving into these agencies at the federal level, but also at the state and local level. There's a rebirth there. It's not as palpable yet. I mean, you can feel it right now at the national level. And I think that's where our most important work is going to be in the next few weeks and months, is getting the local patriots to take the necessary actions to make this real at the local level. We can feel it at the national level right now, obviously with the inauguration and all the emphasis on the executive orders of President Trump this week, and the agencies, the federal agencies, just an about face in a 48-hour period where, for instance, at the Justice Department, what has been the Injustice Department for the last 4 years, now a complete shift with very, very specific orders and direction from the president to stop the persecution of the political opponents of Joe Biden, and to immediately halt so much of the evil that has taken place. Now, a lot is falling through the cracks because this is a massive, massive shift. There's no doubt this is think of the big ship. You know, when you turn a big ship, it takes a long time. And I mean to tell you, Donald Trump is just, to use the lies about him from last January 6th, he has in fact grabbed the wheel at this point of a massive ship, and he has jerked that sucker to the right, and a lot of people are getting seasick. And so the left is certainly seasick, but much of the ship is turning very quickly from the top down. And then, of course, there's a lot of stuff being falling through the cracks, and then we've really got to make this thing happen at the local level to make it lasting. So here's what I mean by all that. When I say things are falling through the cracks, for instance, one of the things that if you're a longtime listener here to At the Core, you know I'm very, very passionate about a restoration of justice. There's a, you know, as an attorney myself, as someone that loves the Constitution, that loves the rule of law, that you know, tears up every time I hear America the Beautiful and that line, liberty in law, someone that grew up on the Superman comic books, truth, justice, and the American way, a Captain America, in the 1980s when you had the Civil War series in the comic book and Spider-Man comes to Captain America and says, what do you do when even those that you're trying to protect turn on you? And how do you deal with the media that's after you? I mean, all these things, this is 1980s comic books. And Captain America's response was, when the whole world tells you that something wrong is something right, and the media, the politicians, all of it, when all of those people are telling you something's wrong, that something wrong is right, and they're telling you to move, your job, he said, is to, quote, plant yourself by the river of truth and say, no, you move. I love that line from Captain America. It's something that I teach at Patriot Academy. I share it with the kids and say, look, Captain America got it right all those years ago. It's almost 40 years ago when that comic book came out. And, of course, you know, Marvel and DC and all the rest went woke and so many things that happened in the last few years that it felt like we were losing the country. It felt like every single area of the country had gone woke and that this nonsense of cultural Marxism had won the day. And we stood our ground and we said, no, you move. We refuse to buy into it. We refuse to give in. We refuse to play the game. And I tell you, folks, I'm pinching myself because it is remarkable how quickly this thing is turning around. For sure in the red areas. Now there's going to be a program tomorrow on Wall Builders. We call it Good News Friday. We do that on the Wall Builders radio show every week on a Friday. We just kind of cram in as much good news as we can of all the victories that have taken place. Well, you can imagine right now with so much shifting so fast, there's way more good news stories than we can possibly cover, but we pre-recorded our good news program for tomorrow, and Tim Barton pointed something out to me that I would share with you this afternoon. He was because I made the point. I was like, man, this is shifting so fast. Have you ever seen anything like this cultural Marxist DEI nonsense? This whole just racist idea that we're going to judge people by the color of their skin instead of the content of their character. Have you seen anything take such a hold in a culture and then be reversed so quickly? And Tim made a very important point. He said, well, Rick, it is happening. The reversal's happening. But he said it's really only happening in the red states so far. It hasn't happened nationally. California hasn't given up on DEI. You know, these blue crazy states have not given up. Now, there's millions of patriots in those states that now they are fighting tooth and nail to get the same victories that we're seeing happen almost overnight in the federal agencies. Leadership matters. And so now that you've got a leader at the federal level that is willing to take on these fights, not just, you know, shy away from the tough ones. I mean, to say male and female right from the start of his administration, that's a great signal that he's going to take on these tough fights. So that's all very, very good. But what I mean by falling through the cracks is, so take this J6 thing. As I said, I'm very passionate about this whole idea of justice and the manipulation and absolute evil that took place in our justice system over the last 4 years. There were so many examples. I mean, we could spend all day just talking about how they took so many of these J6 defendants and they lied. They flat out lied about what actually took place. And they took a lot of these people, like a Colton McCoy McCoy. yeah, I'm an old UT fan. I admit it. Colton McCabe, this police officer that was their J6 and you know, a patriot and a MAGA guy, and all he did was try to help a police officer that was on the ground, actually being pulled down the steps by some other people there. He tried to help this. He did help this police officer. Maybe, you know, it kept him from getting hurt any worse than he was. And then the police officer acknowledged the fact that he had helped him. And another police officer acknowledged it and said, we know you're helping us and thank you. Actually thanked Colton McCabe for what he had done that day. And yet this DOJ, this Department of Injustice, went after Colton McCabe with a vengeance, lied about him to these scam, you know, sham juries in Washington, D.C., said he assaulted a police officer rather than the fact that he actually was helping a police officer. Anyway, Colton got 7 years, and he's out now. He got out last night, or night before last. I'm going to actually have him on Flashpoint tonight and in my show, The Tavern, soon. But those types of injustices happened over and over and over again. Rebecca Lawrence, the praying grandma we've had on the program several times, I mean, the stories just go on and on and on. And what I mean by falling through the cracks, you know, McCabe's home, Rebecca Lawrence, you know, 1,500 roughly pardoned. But there's some of these guys and gals that are still in prison. They're still in the gulag. They're still being abused. They're still being run through the ringer. And even the ones that they were letting out, from what I understand, even the childish just cruelty of the people running the gulag in D.C. They literally would put these people in buses and take them elsewhere in the city to drop them off so that the families and the patriots that were there to receive them, to love on them, to take them to the Waffle House or a steak dinner or go get a beer or whatever they were going to do to celebrate finally being out of prison after 4 years of abuse, They took them somewhere else in the city and dropped them off so that these families could not greet their loved ones. These patriots could not welcome these people that were getting out of prison. Just absolutely awful, evil activities by these people. So I am just still very upset about the injustice and the people that did this. And I believe justice will only truly have come when those people are locked up, when they are prosecuted for the evils that they did. But the people that are falling through the cracks, that are still in the gulag, those are the ones that we've now got to put the pressure on the prison system to let these people out. So Jeremy Brown is one of those. You guys have heard me talk about him throughout this thing. He's a guy that did not even go in to the Capitol. He absolutely did not have anything to do with the violence or any of those things. This is a spec ops veteran and a patriot. And the reason they went after him is because he refused to be an informant for the FBI. They tried to get him to be an informant. He said no. And so they of course, did everything they could to destroy his life. Well, he's still in prison, and they're now moving him around. And you're going to hear all kinds of stuff about this. We're going to be pushing hard to get him out. Do not leave Jeremy behind. You can follow me on Twitter, and we'll try to or X, and we'll try to keep you up on that. In his case, he ended up with two different cases, his J6 case, and then because of the framing that they did, they absolutely framed this guy. And I've done a whole story on this, but just to reiterate very quickly, what they did was when they raided his house, and remember, he's a spec ops guy, okay? So he's special forces, and apparently they found a hand grenade somewhere on his property. They claim it was found in the RV that he had at DC. It was all after the fact, so there's zero evidence. They can't even find his fingerprints on it. I mean, there's a whole lot to it. It's a very obvious, in my opinion, setup and a framing. And so they convicted him in Florida on unrelated, supposedly unrelated, but all tied to J6 for his possession of this hand grenade. And the media made it sound like they literally say explosive laden RV, like he's got bomb material, you know, wrapped underneath this thing, ready to blow it. It's such a bogus lie, absolute lie. Anyway, Jeremy, because of these, you know, separate charges, supposedly, that's what the injustice folks are saying, but it all stems from the investigation. So another person you can follow is Laura Logan. She's been following his case closely. We're going to be working really hard to make sure that Jeremy is not left behind. Another example would be Olivia Pollack. She's still in the D.C. gulag as of right now. We'll be watching closely. Hopefully she's going to be released today. Her brother was released. She has not been released yet. I believe that is the case. Now, I'm trying to get her parents to call in this afternoon, so we'll see if we can get them on the program and get an update. And listen, I'm going to close out this segment by saying, hey, I have been unapologetic calling balls and strikes about this whole thing from the beginning. I said from the very beginning, if you hit a cop, if you broke windows, if you did violence, then you deserve prosecution. But the question is, equal justice under the law, how much time is enough time, even if you were one of the ones that pushed a cop or removed a barrier or broke a window or whatever, even if you did the worst of the worst that day, how much is the proper amount of abuse for you? And that's where I finally came down on the side of every single one of the J6ers at this point needs to be released. Because even if you did some of the worst stuff that happened that day, 4 years in the gulag, even 2 years in the gulag is enough in terms of equal justice. Because all the folks that burned down cities in 2020, they didn't do that much time. Most of them were not even prosecuted at all. So in this environment, under the abuse of the Department of Justice and under all of those things that happened, Donald Trump did the right thing in pardoning all 1,500. Now we have to make sure that those who had separate charges, like the Pollacks and others, that they also get released and that there's a fresh start for all of these people. It's time to have a fresh start for the ones that have already paid the price. Now, I also believe there needs to be a new start for the ones that were the perpetrators of the persecution through the DOJ. They need to go to jail now. There needs to be a new chapter in their life, and it needs to be behind bars. Stay with me, folks. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
At
As Christians, how can we even begin to impact others when we live in a culture where truth is relative? It all starts with God's Word. Join us for Activate Summit 2025 at Cadence Bank Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi, June 12th through the 14th, 2025. The theme is Biblical Bedrock, building on the authority of Scripture, and it's designed to help you acknowledge the Bible's authority and submit to the clear teaching of Scripture. Hear from Frank Turek.
Evolution describes what does behave, not what ought to behave, right? It doesn't give you oughts, it just gives you what does happen.
Todd Herman.
God always uses evil for good. He is very intentional, and He intentionally chose you to live through times such as these.
And more. The main sessions are for ages 13 and up, while Activate Kids is a separate track for ages 6 through 12. Register for Activate Summit 2025 by visiting activate.afa.net/summit.
Activate Summit 2025.
activate.afa.net/summit.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
All right, welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. And trying to deal with my headphones, you know? I got to be able to hear too, folks. I can't just talk all the time. My wife keeps telling me that. She's like, you talk a lot. Would you listen? Just once in a while, listen. I'm trying, folks. I'm trying to get better at listening. You know, it's kind of part of that restoring civil discourse in this country. Can't just talk all the time like I do, so got to listen as well. Anyway, I am very excited that so many of these J6 defendants are now home, that they're with their loved ones. I loved watching the videos. And when I said Waffle House, I meant that. There was a bunch of these guys. They literally went to the Waffle House as soon as they got out and said, I know it sounds weird, but I've been missing me some good Waffle House food. Others went out for steak or whatever. But praise God. Praise God that this day has finally come, that joy has come in the morning, that the national nightmare of the evil. Evil. It wasn't just opposing, you know, political views. These people were evil Marxists that had the control of the apparatus of our entire federal government. And it's going to take time to root them out. It's going to take time to truly have a revolution. You know, we're very much in that moment. And I think I mentioned this Tuesday, but we're basically in 1781. We won the battle at Yorktown. It's going to take another 2 years to get the peace treaty. 10 years from that point of winning at Yorktown to actually have the Constitution and the Bill of Rights in place, I think that's where we are. I think we're at 1781. We've won the main battle, and now we've got to do the hard work, the heavy lifting of making it last by enshrining it into our institutions. It's almost like, I mean, we're literally rebuilding liberty. So we're rebuilding the institutions. We're rebuilding what the Founding Fathers put in place because, unfortunately, the left was so effective at tearing it down. I mean, they did. They tore down the institutions that had been so great. They totally destroyed our education system, made it in their image. They took all of what our founders put in place, Webster and so many of these others that you know knew that you needed biblical wisdom to have a country that was going to last in freedom, that you could not have the ability for people to be self-governed and it last without them having the biblical foundation so that they would self-govern in a way that they didn't destroy their neighbors or themselves. And so the founders knew that, so that's why they had an education system. The whole point of education is to have informed citizens that understand what it takes to make freedom last. And so when the left and the Marxists began this hostile takeover of our education system, 80 to 100 years ago they started, and they really got a foothold in the 60s and 70s, and then by the 80s and 90s, they had enough people in those institutions to totally remake them and totally radically transform the nation by radically transforming the education system. It took multiple generations for them to accomplish that. And we saw the real zenith of it in the last 4 years where they took to the streets and lied about who we are as America. And the youth really believed they were championing a good cause when, in fact, they were championing Marxism and racism and division in our country. They got control of the federal government completely over the last 4 years, and were able to perpetrate all of this evil through the Department of Injustice, through the education system, through the environmental wackos, through the regulation and the shutdown of the free enterprise. I mean, all of it. All of that was success for the Marxists. And that is not going to be turned around overnight. Now, the beginning of it took place this week. All of these executive orders that President Trump put in place, they're essentially reversing. I mean, remember the first one he signed reversed some nearly 80 executive orders of Joe Biden. So much of the Marxism was put into place through executive orders, and therefore was able to be reversed immediately through executive order by Donald Trump. But then it takes time for even that executive order to be implemented in the halls of these fourth branch bureaucracies that are in, you know, where these leftists have entrenched themselves. This is where the whole civil service thing is an issue, that for the first time maybe in history, there will be a real attempt to dismantle that. And what I mean by that is you've got these absurd federal laws that say you can't fire a federal employee. And they were supposedly done to protect these people from political firings. Well, you know what? If you work for the government, political firings ought to be allowed. Because when you come into the government, you typically are coming in there with some sort of political bias, being hired by someone that got elected and appointed into that agency to implement a particular philosophy. I mean, that's what elections are about. You elect a philosophy to come in and take over the government and then implement that philosophy. Well, a lot of people end up getting hired based on that philosophy, and then they stick around. And so they keep implementing that philosophy, even if the country changes its mind and elects someone else with a different philosophy, which is what just happened. So I think you ought to be able to fire every one of these people. In fact, Mike Lee said that this week as well. Said what should Donald Trump's, who should he fire first? He said everyone in the executive branch, which means all of those agencies, all of these fourth branch dictators that have been making law on their own, had their own court systems. I mean, it was a complete and utter tyrannical nightmare, and still is. It's going to take time to dismantle all of that. So that part, when I talk about falling through the cracks, that's not falling through the cracks. That's just literally the hard work it's going to take over time to implement these, you know, sweeping changes that Donald Trump is attempting to do. But the falling through the cracks part are the people that are being left behind, like Jeremy Brown and Olivia Pollack. Those are the ones that you've got to make sure. We've got to just keep the heat on, folks. This is it's a critical moment because the momentum is so high, and if we don't make sure that these people aren't left behind, all of a sudden it's going to be February and then March and then April and then May, and everybody's attention is going to be moved to some other area of the culture. And unfortunately, you know, the masses are like what was that fish in that Finding Nemo, the friend that would forget, you know, every second, Dory or Dora or whatever that fish's name was. Dory, thank you, Bobby. Yeah, so that's unfortunately how we tend to act as the public too often. You know, there's a hot item, everybody's paying attention to it. We're all celebrating the victory, and then we're going to be on to something else in a couple of months. And that's why I'm going to be talking about this a lot, and until we get every single one of these folks back home to their families. And as I was saying at the beginning of the segment, I fully recognize there are people, and I would put the Pollack brother in this category, that did things that day that he should not have done. He pushed some cops. He you know, picked up the barrier, and there's video of it. So that part's undeniable. Now, did he do all that they claimed that he did? I doubt it, seriously, because they lied about everybody else. I'm sure they lied about him and made it 10 times worse. But everything that he did that day, he's already paid the price for. He's already spent enough time in the gulag and been mistreated and abused. And I would argue, and I don't know the details of Olivia's case, I don't see any video evidence that she did any of those things to that level. And now, granted, I mean, this is, you know, both of them apparently evaded arrest and didn't show up for their trial and ended up having to be, you know, tracked down by the FBI, which, you know, frankly, I think will make a great book someday. So I encourage them to write that. You know, so there's no doubt there's some stuff here. But OK, the price has been paid, and it's now time for a new day. And it's now time for, this is what a presidential pardon is all about. It's now time to wipe the slate clean and give these folks a chance to start their life anew. And I cannot join some of those who might say, pushing a police officer is unforgivable all of that. Unforgivable? I mean, are we Christians or not? And should there be prosecution and should there be a payment for doing such a thing? Absolutely. But that's been done. That has been done. And I might go too far on this one, so I'm just going to switch subjects. I don't have the same universal kind of absolute the government or the police officer or whoever is always right that I used to have. Not that I said they were always right, because there's always bad cops, just like in any other industry or any other profession. There's always going to be some who are do it the wrong way, and so I don't believe in this universal. It's never it is never okay to fight back or whatever it might be. Now, I, and part of the reason I'm stuttering around here a little bit, because I want to be really careful how I say this. That there is, you should absolutely teach in your culture and in your society that if a police officer is telling you to put your hands up and put your hands behind your back or whatever it might be, that should absolutely be the case. I mean, this is why when I had my run in with the police department in Pittsburgh a few weeks back and got the perp walk down the middle of the highway and handcuffed in the middle of the highway while the both sides were shut down. This is why I absolutely, as soon as they pulled me over, my hands were out the window, showing them that I was not going to resist, showing them that I didn't have any, there was nothing for them to be concerned about. I did everything that you're supposed to do when a police officer is telling you, even if they're in the wrong, which it turned out they were in the wrong, and I had not done anything wrong, but it turned out the car I had picked up at Avis the night before had been used in a murder the day before. And so they thought I was the murderer. So, they're coming in guns a-blazing. I had guns pointed in at me from every direction you can imagine. It was a touch and go situation, let's just say. And I could have ended up with a lot of holes in me that would have ended me if I had been belligerent, or if I'd been, smart aleck about it or whatever. And so it is absolutely true that it should permeate the culture that you teach people to obey what an officer is saying and don't fight the police officers. You fight in court. So if they're wrong in what they do, and they violate your civil rights or whatever the argument's going to be, there will be a time to fight that fight. But it is not the time to do that. In my situation, for instance, whenever I'm being pulled over or whenever they're, giving me the orders to walk backwards and do all that kind of stuff, you obey those commands and you work the rest out later, which is exactly what we did. And they applauded me and thanked me for doing everything right. And I thanked them for being very professional, and they did everything right in the takedown. And I don't know if they ever caught the actual murderer or not, but I know I still made my flight that afternoon out of Pittsburgh. Not so sure I'm going to accept a Dodge Challenger whenever they give me the free upgrade at Avis anymore. But I do love driving a Dodge Challenger, though. And so anyway, all that to say, so these folks that fought against the cops that day, I understand why Sheriff Grady and that's the sheriff in the county where the Pollocks and these other folks live has said he disagrees with Donald Trump pardoning the ones that fought back against the police officers that day. I understand his perspective on that and why he's saying that and why he wants to keep the mindset of making sure that we never encourage people to fight against the cops. Totally agree with that. However, in this situation, those people that did that day, whether it was because they got hot-headed, because they responded to being hit in the face with a projectile from a police officer's, shooting those the gas and all the things that they did that day, whatever the reasons that things got out of control that day, the whole thing stinks to high heaven. The whole thing smells of a setup. The whole thing smells of a baited 1933 Rostock fire situation so that the Democrats could demonize patriots for the last 4 years, persecute, and try to silence us. That's what they were after. And had they accomplished what they were after, you would not hear my voice right now. Had they accomplished what they were actually after, American Family Radio probably wouldn't exist as of right now. You wouldn't have most of the conservative, Christian, certainly patriotic talk radio that's out there right now. That's what they were after. They were after silencing anyone that would speak up against the left. And they almost did it, folks. Don't you remember Joe Biden's speech there in front of Independence Hall with the red, you know, lights and the military presence behind him as he called all of us enemies, as he called all of us a threat to democracy, which we are, because this is not a democracy, it's a republic. When he tried to demonize not just Donald Trump, but every single one of us. Let's not forget that. I mean, that was, in fact, what they were after, trying to destroy their political opposition. And so these people like the Pollock kids and a lot of others that ended up doing all this time in the gulag and being so abused and all of that, they paid a heavy price for perhaps responding too heavily to the abuse that took place that day. There was a lot of abuse handed out by police officers that day. There's no doubt about it. And then there were police officers that were just defending themselves. And there were J6ers that were just defending themselves, and J6ers that instigated things. In a world of actual justice, those 44,000 hours of footage would have been absolutely micromanaged, you know, broken apart second by second, millisecond by millisecond, and there would have only been prosecution of the people that deserved prosecution that day, and those people would have got a fair sentence, and then we would move on. But that's not what happened. The Department of Justice lied over and over and over again about what happened that day. They abused people over and over and over again. They continue to abuse them even as of today on Thursday, 2 days or 3 days after the pardons were given. And so that's why I don't want to hear any of this nonsense about, yeah, but he pushed a cop, or yeah, but they hit a cop, or yeah, but they did this. I don't care at this point. At this point, every single one of them, it should be a new day. It should be a fresh day, and every single one of those Department of Justice attorneys and every one of the people that lied, now they need to be prosecuted. It's time for the tables to turn. Now, I'm not talking about vengeance, although it is the state's job to bring justice. So this is not vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Absolutely. And who does the Lord use? The government does not bear the sword in vain. So it is their job now to go after the people that lied and persecuted. All right, we'll be back in a moment. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You're listening to At the Core. According to a recent study of hundreds of post-abortive women, 60% reported that they would have preferred to give birth if they just received more support from others or had more financial security. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is there for women in their darkest hour, deciding between the life and death of their precious child. The reality is women are being pressured to make this fatal decision, and they're being told that their babies are just a clump of cells. Preborn welcomes women with God's love and introduces them to the beautiful life growing inside of them. That doubles their baby's chance at life. When you support Preborn, you're not only supporting women, you empower them. Your donation of $28 will help a woman to make a choice that she won't have to regret for the rest of her life. It'll give her the ultimate blessing, life. Your love can save a life. Just dial #250 and say the word baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me. Ranting a little bit today, I guess. Maybe I rant every day. I don't know. But I'm definitely excited about the new chapter in our nation's life and in our lives. And I'm certainly thankful for the executive orders Donald Trump has signed so far, most of all the 1,500 pardons for the J6ers. But I'm also very concerned about those who have been left behind so far. There's a handful that we cannot forget about. Jeremy Brown tops that list for me because of his specific case and not only his service to our country, but just the way he was framed, the patriotism that he has exhibited throughout this whole thing. He's just, in my opinion, a hero. He's one of those guys that not only needs to be pardoned and released and sent back home, but also given the Medal of Freedom and honored by the president at the White House. Absolutely should happen. And then another couple of folks, the Pollocks, which is a different case. Now, Jeremy didn't even go to the Capitol that day, didn't shove anybody, didn't do anything wrong at all. There are many that did that shoved police officers that broke things that did things that I've said from that very afternoon of January 6th should be prosecuted. But as I said, they've paid the price. They've done their time. And either we believe in that or we don't. It's kind of like, I feel the same way when it comes to this whole idea that a felon cannot have a firearm. Why do we support that? If you've paid your price to society, paid your dues to society. If you did your time, when you come home, your Second Amendment rights should be restored. Your voting rights should be restored. So I don't support this idea of no voting, no firearms for felons. I know there's supposed to be a price, but the price is paid while you're in prison. When you get home, you ought to be able to enjoy those things and be able to protect yourself. And anyway, so I believe in a balance of justice and mercy, and that justice does not mean that you are unfairly prosecuted and persecuted for the rest of your life because of a mistake that you make at some point in your life. And I guess part of that comes from the fact that I know I am thankful for a Redeemer, and I am thankful for forgiveness, and I am thankful that our Lord and Savior did not say that sin you committed over here or over there or one of the many sins you committed, for that one we're never going to forgive you. My goodness, folks, come on. King David, murderer and adulterer. Moses, a murderer. You go through the list of the Hall of Fame, Faith Hall of Fame, and it's all a bunch of scumbags if we're going to, stick to the definition that you're defined by any action that you committed at any point in your life. We're all scumbags in that case. Either we believe in forgiveness or we don't. Either we believe in the idea of paying your dues and then being done. Now, there's some crimes that people commit that we ought to lock them up and throw away the key. There's some crimes that they commit that ought to be put on, not just put on death row for 30 years, they ought to be put to death. I'm absolutely a supporter of all of those things. But once you pay whatever that price is, you're done, and you should be able to move on with your life. All right, you may not agree with me. I'm certainly welcome to civil discourse. So 888-589-8840, that's 888-589-8840. I welcome your comments, questions, and insults and opposition, whatever you got. You may support what I'm saying. You may be opposed to it. I'd be glad to hear you out, and we'll talk about it. I'm hoping we get a lot more about of that kind of civil discourse. I'm hoping that even Donald Trump's attitude, watch him in these press conferences already and these pressers, and he doesn't, even with the resolve that he has, which is amazing, by the way. I love just watching his face coming out of the inauguration. Just incredible. But even with that resolve, he still has the conversation. He still welcomes dissent. Now, he doesn't waver, but he's open to being, convinced otherwise. And that's what civil discourse is all about. I love having conversations with people that disagree with me, that are on the exact opposite side of the issue from me, and give them a chance to change my mind. And hopefully I change their mind. All right, well, a couple of headlines real quick, and then we'll hit the phones. But love the fact that the Lake and Riley Act has passed, and it looks like it will be the first bill that Donald Trump signs. Again, it's an example of the end to the insanity, an example, as Donald Trump said, of the return of common sense. This whole issue of the border and this whole idea from the left, these Marxist evil scumbags that ran our government for the last 4 years, that purposefully opened our border and allowed these thugs to come into our nation, these MS-13 gang members, the cartel members, the terrorists from the Middle East, the Chinese operatives, all of it, they allowed all of that to happen to the tune of millions of people. And they purposely allowed this chaos to happen in our country. And innocent people have been killed, raped. The murder, the mayhem that they allowed to take place is just unconscionable. It's hard to even comprehend. If you don't understand total depravity, then you cannot comprehend in any way, shape, or form why leaders of a country and appointed leaders of agencies would cheer for this stuff and allow for this stuff, would actually sue the state of Texas to prevent us from preventing the murder and mayhem. That's total depravity right there, folks. If you didn't believe in it before, you ought to believe in it after these last 4 years. So this evil that they've allowed to be perpetrated, part of how one of the steps in stopping it, I mean, honestly, the Laken Riley Act is just common sense that that should have been 435-0 in the House and 100-0 in the Senate. But at least it got passed. At least we have victory here. And the president's going to be able to sign this thing. It would, you know, give a little bit of teeth to our law enforcement agencies to be able to detain these scumbags that come in here and commit all kinds of crimes against the people of America. And thankfully, thank the good Lord that even with this narrow margin in the House, it would have never come to the floor if the Republicans didn't have the narrow margin. And once they got it to the floor, they actually garnered, I think, about 40 Democrat votes. So it is a bipartisan, you can argue, bill that's been passed. So anyway, it's eventually going to get to the president. Let's see, the Senate, I guess, signed it's a different version. So I don't know, you know, I was a state rep, but I wasn't a federal congressman. So I don't know the process for how you get the same exact bill passed at both houses at the federal level. I don't know if the way we did it, they have some sort of reconciliation process. We would kind of do the same thing. You'd have a committee that would, if the Senate changed some language or the House changed some language, then you'd have this joint committee that would finally work out the differences in those little pieces of language. And then you'd send that final bill back to the House and the Senate to finally pass the exact same language. So I think that part has still got to take place. No, I take that back. I'm sorry. The Senate actually did their changes, and then the House approved those changes, yesterday. And so that's what has finally been passed. So now it does go to the president for his signature, and it'll be the first law that he signed. So here's the numbers. I finally found it. Here we go. The House passed it 263-156, and then the Senate had passed 64-35. So that means you have 156 Democrats in the House and 35 Democrats in the Senate that are just fine with MS-13 gang members and terrorists and others, you know, committing mayhem on the streets of our country and not being able to be detained by our law enforcement. That's the kind of scumbags you have still in Congress. I know my language is strong today, folks. I guess I'm just, I'm at that point where we've got to press the gas. We've got to take back ground. This is no time for mamsy-pamsy, wimpy Christianity. This is time for Christians to stand up and say, enough is enough. We are taking our country back, and we're going to press the gas and claw back the ground that was taken by these evil people. And we're not mincing words. We're going to be, we're going to be salty. This is no time to be sweet. This is a time to be salt and light. And I mean glaring, blaring light. I'm talking about light that blinds the enemy and removes the darkness quickly. And I'm talking about salt that burns when it's entered into the wound. And so that's the way we need to be right now. That's the way I'm going to be. If you don't like it, you know, find another program. All right, Daniel in Illinois. Go for it, brother. Daniel, you're up first. God bless you, man, for calling in. Hey. You got a comment, question, insult. Go for it.
I just got a comment. Are they going to do anything about the people that got locked up praying at abortion clinics and the FACE Act?
Yes. Yes, man. My understanding is that it's on its way. You know, Bevelin is one of the great champions that got put in prison for 3 years. Amazing lady. Most people would recognize her from the BLM riots, not being in the riots. She was on the other side. She's the one that actually got the paint out of the back of her Suburban and went out there and started painting the street that had BLM in the street. And either, I can't remember if it was DC or New York. I love this lady. I used to share all of her clips. I had her on my program a few times. She's just an awesome, awesome woman, a wonderful voice for freedom and for life. I mean, she's a fantastic pro-lifer. I think, if I remember right, she's actually, she's kind of like Star Parker. Star Parker was one that had abortions early in her life because that was what she was told to do. And then she became super pro-life as a result of it and has been an absolute champion. And she's so articulate. One of the things I love about Bevelin, she's like, she's one of these people that can just, I mean, she just rattles it off. Boom, 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 boom. She'll just go down the list. And I love listening to her. Anyway, she has been in jail for over an abuse, again, an absolute abuse of the law. This FACE Act should have never been passed in the first place, but they actually abuse it, and the Department of Injustice has been using it to jail pro-lifers, Bevelin being the most famous of those. And so my understanding is that a pardon is in the works for her and the others. I don't think it has happened yet. It's got to happen, but apparently it's in the works. She has not been pardoned yet. She's not home with her family yet, as far as I know. Someone please call in if I am wrong about that. But she's one of several. I mean, there's an elderly lady that's happened to. There's, of course, all these other abuses of the justice system. And so anyway, short answer to your question is yes, some pardons are in the works and it's coming. Longer answer I just gave you. Okay, let's see. Let's go to Ron in West Virginia. Ron in West Virginia, go ahead, man. You're up next.
Okay, yeah. I just want to mention I recently read a book by Robert Morse. It was he was one of the J6 detainees, and it's extremely informative.
Robert Morse. So so Robert Morse, a J6 detainee, is he out? Do you know if he's been pardoned yet?
I believe he's out. Yes. Okay. He was a school teacher also.
Gotcha.
And he was arrested at the last day of school. I can't remember the name of the book. I'm in my 70s and my memory ain't quite what it used to be.
Hey, brother, I'm in my 50s and my memory ain't what it used to be. I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay, and my producer just said he is out and he's actually been on the show with Walker. So, but we'll get the name of that book as well. Ron, thank you very much, man. By the way, congrats on your governor there in West Virginia. You've got a new fantastic governor. You had a pretty lousy governor before.
Yeah, well, it was a pleasant change. Who we had was he was a Democrat and he flipped to Republican when he got in. Justice.
He's one of those guys. Yeah. And y'all sent him to the Senate, unfortunately, but at least you got rid of the Democrat. Man, I'm blanking on your governor's name. Help me out. Morse? Is it Morse?
Morse, yeah.
Yeah.
Morse.
Yeah, he's good, man.
I know. Well, he ran against Justice 8 years ago.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
He ran as a Republican. Justice ran as a Democrat. As soon as Justice got in, I guess he saw it to his behoove.
Gotcha.
Flip sides, you know.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Have changed, but it's...
Yeah, there was something he just signed. I'm trying to remember what it was that we were talking about it on our Wall Builders radio program. But anyway, I'm really happy for West Virginia. One of my Patriot Academy grads is a young legislator there. He's only 22 now, 23. And Elias Coop Gonzalez, fantastic member of your legislature, doing a great job. Voted number one conservative voting record his first two sessions. And so anyway, I'm expecting great things from West Virginia. It's going to be one of those places that can carry the banner of what states ought to look like. Okay, not much time left. We'll try to get another call in here. Phil from Texas. Go ahead, Phil. Good to have you back on the program.
Thank you. It's nice to talk to you. I just told the lady, the screener, I was so happy with what you'd shared today, and I thought it was so encouraging, and it sounded like you were preaching a sermon, and I thought, boy, preach it, brother.
Well,
we've got to get this word out. We got to show people this is a spiritual battle, and amen. We need to be staying in the fight.
Amen, bro. You're so right. Thank you, man. I appreciate you calling in. Appreciate your encouragement and listening to the program as well. Sometimes I guess my rants sound like preaching. I don't know. But Daniel in Louisiana, I think we can get one more in before we're out of time. Go ahead, man.
Is this me?
Yes, sir. Daniel, I might have lost you. I think I hit the wrong. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Wait, I might get you back. We're down to about 60 seconds. Go ahead, Daniel. Try to get it in, man.
I was just going to say that I'm from Louisiana, and I thought she made a statement earlier about all civil servants are all when a regime change comes, to go ahead and it's okay to lay everybody off. And, you know, from going back to the Huey P. Long days and stuff, the heads were very corrupt, and they brought in civil service because they would end up, all these people that were, you know, doing their jobs, keeping the streets clean, enforcing and getting all the work done. They were getting laid off.
Right.
The family members.
And then they're hiring their friends and family. No, I hear you, man.
Right.
I hear you. I hate to cut you off, but we're literally about to hear the bumper music for the end of the program. I appreciate your point. I get it. I mean, that's the history of that thing. But the problem is that it's been used to create an even greater abuse, which is quite literally millions of people on the government dole, not even doing real work, or when they're doing real work, they're harassing the American people. So, you know, extreme times, extreme measures, I think you fire all of them and start over. And if they're good and they can prove it, then they can come back and get hired back. But we're just at one of those points in history where a complete regime change has got to take place. But I hear you. I hear you on what the reasons were why it was implemented in the first place. Folks, I appreciate you putting up with my ranting today, preaching, whatever you want to call it, and I appreciate you being a part of the program. Be sure to tune in every day. Walker will be back with you tomorrow. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.